In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God's wrath is real. God's punishment is real. The one who sins will die. God's love is real. His grace is real. Those who believe will be saved. Today, many hold on to one at the expense of the other. In American Christianity, God's justice is mostly softened or even ignored. The fiery God of Sinai is terrifying. Israel trembled before him, and so does modern man. The holy I Am sees all things as black and white. No middle ground, no gray areas, no conforming to popular opinion, no second chances, no wiggling your way out of it. So they ignore it. God is love, they say. And a loving God would never condemn someone for all eternity. God is love. And a loving God would never punish someone for simply being true to themselves, expressing themselves. After all, God is the one who made them that way. God is love. He gave me these gifts and talents. And a loving God would understand that I have my hands full. So if I worry and stress or occasionally lash out, or even neglect my vocation, God will understand. A lot is going on, and no one is perfect. Fallen man manipulates God to suit his own ideas, mushing and molding him until he gets something that he likes. God's justice is replaced with "let your conscience be your guide." God's demand for holiness with just "do your best, be you." Now anything goes. The Ten Commandments are seen as general guidelines supporting anything from homosexuality to divorce to longing for earthly wealth. Morality has become fluid, right and wrong, subjective. Why? Because God is love, and he loves all people. Jesus died for everyone. Therefore, God is no longer a wrathful, vengeful, fiery God who punishes. It is all gone. And man is now free to live however he sees fit, provided, is, of course, that they love. But your ashes say otherwise. It's what your body is made up of, and someday it will return to dust. You are not perfect, and your ashes show it. Your hands may be free from murder, but your hearts harbor grudges and disdain for others. And the Lord looks at your heart. The Lord punished and drowned hard-hearted Pharaoh and all his army in the Red Sea. Then he sent the Israelites to exterminate all those Canaanite nations because of their unbelief. He scattered the northern kingdom of Israel forever and the southern kingdom for 70 years in exile in Babylon. And in between the time, he sent them plagues and famines and terrorists from other nations who raided their property and stole their women and children. Why? Because they sinned against God. Unless we think that the God of the New Testament is somehow softer and not as strict, that he only cares about loving people, was it not Jesus who taught an unparalleled destruction of all unbelievers on the last day for all eternity? And did not Jesus call the Pharisees children of the devil? And Ananias and Sapphira immediately fell over dead when they lied to the Holy Spirit about their offering. Man looks at the outward things. The Lord is not impressed with that outward show. Man looks at it. God looks at your heart. And so the heart that is not right, well, nothing but destruction awaits. So rend your heart and not your garments, for your God is a consuming fire. Stop your sinning and flee every temptation, even as Joseph fled from Potiphar's wife, no matter how small it may be. God will not be mocked. He will not change. He will not let you mush and mold him to whatever God you desire. He must be true to himself. His wrath is real. His punishment is real. His justice is real. The ashes on your forehead confess that you believe this. They confess also that you deserve this. But outward ceremonies are pointless if the heart is not right. Do not soil your foreheads just so others see your piety and sorrow, those who do have their earthly reward, but believe what they confess. And so you have come here. You believe that God is holy and just, yet still you have come here. You believe that God punishes the wrongdoer, and you even confess that that should be you, but still you come here. Not to redirect attention away from yourself as Adam tried to pin it all on Eve, but you have come here holding on to the promise of God found in Jesus Christ. That love is real. That grace is real. Those who believe will be saved. He will not punish you for your sins or treat you according to your iniquities, but he remembers you according to his mercy. He will not cast you away from his presence or take his Holy Spirit from you, but he turns to you a fatherly heart to forgive you all your sins. He pulls you up from the dust and raises you up from the ashes. His love shines on you forever and ever, even as his mercy endures forever. Why? Because you said you were sorry? Because you repented? Because you feel terrible about the fact that you are not perfect? No. Justice doesn't care how you feel. Justice doesn't care whether you repent or not. Justice only cares about one thing, righting the wrong, handing out the punishment. So no, God does not forgive you because you feel bad or because you said you were sorry. He forgives because of his Son. There on the cross, Jesus suffered the wrath of God in our place. He suffered the punishment that you deserve, even enduring hell itself. The beloved was forsaken. The Son left to die the death of a sinner so that you might receive his forgiveness. Someone had to satisfy God's justice. Someone had to pay the price for our sins. Someone had to be holy as God is holy. God could not simply sweep it under the rug and forget about it. That's what we do. God, justice must be served. And on the cross, it was. So that is why you have come here. That is why you repent. That is why your foreheads are dirty. That is why you have entered this building this night. Because of the cross, the promise, the forgiveness, the grace, the love that God shows you. That is why you will not soften God's wrath or even try to ignore it. To do so would be to soften and ignore the work Christ did for you. He has paid it all in full, and you are baptized into Christ. And so God will not punish those who are found in Christ. Instead, he protects, he guides, he comforts and encourages. He fills you with his Holy Spirit and bids you to call him Father. Yes, he chastens you with his word. He chastens you out of love, but only so that you look away from your earthly treasures and you live for your heavenly treasure. For where your heart is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Then he comes to you again in word and sacraments, so that you may receive this treasure fully and freely. Do not waste it or ignore it, and so spurn God's love. Do not think that this forgiveness means you can live however you want or however you think is good and right. Love is objective, not subjective. It doesn't depend on you. Love depends solely on the one who is love and who has shown you what is love in the Ten Commandments. Delight in that law, even as the psalmist delighted in the law of God. Meditate on it day and night, ordering your entire life by those Ten Commands. When you stumble and fall, grieve that you have offended your loving God and brought his eternal wrath upon yourself. But then flee to that God, who is ready and willing to forgive all your sins for the sake of his Son. Those who live as they please and refuse to repent have only a wrathful God. But those who repent, those who seek to carry out God's will both in heart and in life, have only a loving, gracious, forgiving God who forgives for the sake of his Son. So come forward, you who confess that you are dust and will return to dust. Come forward, you who believe that you have a holy and just God who does not change. Come forward and receive the eternal love of that God, not in ceremonies or symbols, but in your Lord's body and blood. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.